that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. Yes, I got a little tickle in my throat, folks. So how are you doing here today? Well, I hope you're doing great. And I have a very special guest for you today, Al Capone. Well, it might as well be Al Capone.
Gee, that's the first time.
Yeah, this is Jerry Capone. He's with the gunsmithing department out there at Piedmont Tech. He is here today to talk about it. And Jerry, how you doing today?
And I'm doing fantastic. It's a wonderful day out there and beautiful shop, and everybody here has been real nice.
Well, we are a chatty place, aren't we? Yes, but, God, I'm having a little trouble here right now. Jerry, I wanted to know, you grew up in New York. You're another transplant down here, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm one of those dirty word Yankees, yes.
Well, you're probably a smart Yankee because you came down here. How did you end up in South Carolina?
To go to college originally. I went to school in Spartanburg, and I liked the area, so I stayed.
Well, that's terrific. Now, you said you did come down here to go to school.
Right.
You became a chiropractor?
Yes. Yeah, I went to Sherman Chiropractic College, graduated there. I did go back to New York for a few years and realized I like the weather here a whole lot better. So came down, opened up a practice in Pickens, South Carolina for nearly 25 years, and closed that down, semi-retired, five, six years.
Why did you do that?
Politically, things changed in the healthcare field, and I think I saw the writing on the wall and decided it was time for a change. Do something fun for the rest of my life.
And how did you get into guns?
I always had a lifetime enjoyment with them, shooting as a young boy, and I had a hobby in woodworking and would make furniture and restore old pieces, antiques, and had friends bring firearms in that had broken stocks and wanted me to fix them, and most of them had mechanical issues, and firearms are, relatively simple, and I would start working on that. So it was just kind of a hobby in the background all those years. And then when I closed the office down and heard about the school out in Colorado, Colorado School of Trades, they've been around since the 1940s, and applied, had to send examples of work. Got accepted, graduated, and then opened up a high-end restoration shop in Liberty, South Carolina. Taught at Clemson for a year, their firearms division. And heard about the position here at Greenwood, and it sounded interesting, and I applied, and the rest is history. I've been there since September.
Now, I have to ask you, why did you decide to become a chiropractor?
Well, my father was a big strapping police officer, World War II vet, strapping man, and very athletic. And he got injured in a sporting accident, so to speak, and became paralyzed from the waist down.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And this was back in the very early 60s. Chiropractors were just a step above child molesters, I think.
It was a dirty word, I believe.
Yeah. And so he refused to see one. And long story short, they told him if he didn't get back to work, they couldn't find anything wrong with him, he'd lose his job. And he had four little children, a house, and panic set in. And there was an older gentleman at the end of the street, and my father couldn't get there, and the ambulance wouldn't take him. The man came to our house and would treat my father on his bed for 3 days, and it sounds biblical, but on the third day, he got up and started walking around. Hey, buddy. Yeah. You don't like that story, do you?
Yeah, okay. Grace. I am sorry, Jerry.
That's okay.
I am sorry.
All right.
Jerry, Gracie, come on. Settle down here. Come on, settle down.
Come here, baby. Come
She really likes the post lady.
Oh, I don't blame you. Yeah, they're mean. They bring bills,
don't they? Yeah, they do. Yes, they do.
So that was my introduction to chiropractic, and then my father would take us, prevention thing.
Right.
And so that was my introduction to it. And I liked the man who, you know, helped my father. And
well, that's quite a story.
That is
quite a story. So he was a chiropractor.
My father?
No, the gentleman that worked on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why did your father let him work on him if he didn't believe in it?
Well, he was scared to death. He was going to lose his job. They told him he had 2 weeks to get back to work, and he couldn't get up. And they wouldn't take him. The ambulance wouldn't take him to the chiropractor. They'd take him to a medical doctor. And
This chiropractor came to see him at that
house. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So did you continue to talk to this chiropractor after
He actually, when I went through, I'd finished 2 years of college, he asked me what I was going to do, and I really still wasn't sure. I didn't think I could be a chiropractor, and I was the first one in my family to go to college, and he invited me to a, it was like an open house they have once a year in Spartanburg for the prospective students. And he drove me down here.
There weren't that many schools in chiropractic, were there?
No, back then there was only a handful, if I remember. I think it was six, maybe five or six back then. And
he drove you down here?
He drove me down, and then I stayed with a student. You know, he got a hotel.
Right. Yeah.
I had to stay with a student, but he went to the hotel. And they were very nice. They showed me around and told me about the school. And
I tell you what, let's take a break. We'll be right back. We'll find out what's wrong with Gracie here. She's not usually this rambunctious. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I think Jerry here has calmed the beast. That's right. Gracie's just looking at him going, what are you doing to me anyways? Why am I over here being quiet? But anyways, Jerry Capone is our very special guest this afternoon. He is a certified instructor. He is over there at Piedmont Tech, and he's loving it, I understand, working in the gunsmithing department. Do I have that right?
That's most definitely. I have a great set of kids. I have the enviable position of everybody who really wants to be there.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You know, you don't say to your kids, now I want you to be a gunsmith when you grow up, do you?
No, there is not a single kid in my class whose mother asked them to do that. They're all there because they want to be, and that makes my job that much easier.
Absolutely. Well, you were telling us, so you rode down here from New York to South Carolina to go and visit this open house at the Sherman Chiropractic Center in Spartanburg, right up the road from us. You were telling me off the air that you actually had a health problem that wasn't getting better with traditional medicine.
That's correct.
And what happened?
I was losing my hearing, and they tried everything. And, you know, keep in mind this is the mid-60s.
Right.
And nothing was working traditionally. And with my father getting better, he made us all go. And
now your father is a big believer in chiropractic.
Oh, it's the greatest thing since white toast then.
Right, yeah.
And we started going, preventative stuff, and my ear problems began going away. My hearing started coming back, and I got it all back in one ear, and then lost, you know, the other one never did. But, so I became a, you know, believer, if you will, you know, with going to school, then you understand what happened as opposed to, you know, just faith.
Sure. So, you know, that's a pretty neat story. You know, it would seem that, and particularly back in the 60s, like you're saying, that was not a time when things were that
much. You wouldn't tell somebody you were going.
Right.
Yeah.
Going down the street, but I'm not telling you where. Yeah.
Right,
okay,
exactly. Yeah.
All right. So then you had your practice up there for 25 years. You retired, and you decided to get into gunsmithing. You were already doing it, but how was it to go back to school and for gunsmithing like that in Colorado?
Well, you know, it was actually a lot of fun. I was the old man, you know, my class was full of 25-year-old young fellers. And, you know, when we're young and we go to school, you know, even if it's something we love, we tend to blow off going in at 8 o'clock. We want to sleep late. For me, it was exciting. It was another chance at doing something different. I couldn't wait. I'd get up in the morning. I'd be waiting in line to get in. And it also gave me a little different perspective with instructors who were about my age there. So I was able to speak with them. They had a sign up. You've heard the expression, there are no dumb questions. They said, that's not true.
There are no questions.
Yeah. I don't understand this. Well, that's a dumb question. What don't you understand? You know. So for me, I would laugh at those signs and be able to ask, hopefully, an intelligent question and get it answered. And because I had my own business, I wound up teaching there part-time, the business end of a business, and then just scaling it down for the students of gunsmithing, warning them that they need a good accountant at first. But we would go through that. So that was my first introduction to teaching, was out there. And then Clemson, as I said earlier, and now here at Piedmont.
Yes. So what is the biggest thing that you see in people that are coming into the gunsmithing program at Piedmont Tech? Because I know you have young people, you have older people, you have all ages out there.
Oh, yeah. We start them from 18 out of high school. We have a gentleman right now. I don't think he'd mind, Fred. He's almost 70, retired, wanted something different to do, fill up some of his time, and he was a creative gentleman anyway. So this kind of fit in a nice niche for him. And we go all the way through from 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Our average age sits in the mid to high 20s for our students. The biggest thing really is no one thing. It depends on their age group. The young ones all want to be Rambo, and the older ones all want to do artistic type work. So it's taking the young ones and trying to show them that there's an art form to this. We're not building assault weapons. We're building collectible high-end firearms for a discriminating hunter.
Sure. So as you go through this program, where do the guns come from that y'all work on?
Well, our seniors all have to repair a minimum of 35 firearms for their graduation and finish their fourth semester. Most of those firearms come from the general public. I do shows like this one.
Yeah.
I'll go to clubs like Rotary Civic Clubs, other gun clubs in the area, and I guess it's beg for them. But, you know, most of these clubs and civic groups are middle-aged people, and they have grandpa's firearms in the attic or in the basement, and they're starting to deteriorate. And we don't charge for anything over there for these restorations, be it stock refinish, re-bluing, repairs. Now, we do charge for the part, but just what it cost us. And we try to, as nicely as possible, ask for a donation. And most of that goes back to the students in the form of scholarship and to resupply sandpapers, oils, finishes,
sure,
things like that for the program.
Are these professionally done?
Oh, yeah. Well, none of these are allowed to leave until they've been inspected by one of the gunsmiths, generally me, but
right,
we did hire a few other qualified gunsmiths, and they inspect these guns for grades, that they function properly, they're safe, and they're beautiful when they leave. So
mm-hmm. It's a win-win situation.
I hope so. It helps us tremendously. The public's been outstanding. Last semester, we actually had about a dozen more guns than we needed, and had to call the people and say, geez, we're sorry, but it's going to be another 3 months until the next group gets here. So, but they were quite understanding, and we've been blessed.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds great. Now, what type of guns do you work on? All different types?
Yes. There are basically 8 types of firearms that civilians have. Is a revolver, a semi-automatic pistol, semi-automatic rifle, a lever action, the old cowboy gun, bolt action rifle, break open shotguns, the old side-by-sides or over and unders, pump shotguns, and a semi-automatic shotgun. So those are the 8 major types out there, and students are trained how to work on every single one of them.
Now, this program is tailored for the person to be able to go into business for themselves.
Yes. Not only do they learn the basics of gunsmithing and rebluing and stock refinishing and repair, they also know how to build guns from scratch. And that's their major project when they leave here, before they leave here, is to build one. That's their resume to take with them. However, they are given a business course, and in that, how to start a business, how to
God
keep it.
God bless them if they decide to do it.
Yeah, all the parents are like, please get them out of our house. Let them make money somewhere. It's not a very expensive field to open up a business in relative to many others. Look around here, a large capital outlay, I'm sure. Where gunsmithing, they get the vast majority of the hand tools they need in the program. Mm-hmm. Well, that they get them, they buy them. And there are things, but typically well under $10,000 is the most people need to invest in getting their business started.
So, that is pretty awesome. Now, how many students do you actually, can the school handle, the gunsmithing school handle at any one time?
Well, right now we're at 18 students a year. The school has seen the demand for the program. We have a huge waiting list, and they are upping our square footage from 600 square feet to about 4,000.
600 to 4,000, that's a big increase.
Well, I asked for 8 to 10,000 that we could handle that, and we have the demand for it. But it takes time, and the school's been tremendous in helping us achieve this goal. They're getting us more room. They're working on it pretty much every week. There's an update on our advancement within the college of how many more students we could take. At that point, we should be doing about 72 students a year.
Wow, and that's a big increase. Yeah.
Yeah, from 18. Ultimately, we want to go double that. So, but that'll take a few more years as space becomes more available for us.
Now, does that mean that you'll be getting more students from outside the area?
Yes. Well, right now, I would say about a quarter to a third of our students are from out of state, and we've actually had a large number of foreign students inquire. Unfortunately, we don't take foreign students in. There's just too much with Homeland Security going on right now that we are just not capable of handling foreign students. But we have students from Washington, Oregon, New Hampshire, Michigan, Georgia, Florida, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania.
Now, what kind of a background? Do you have to have a background check in order to take this class?
Yes. Besides the application process, students have to have a background check done and pass it.
Not just have it done, you actually have to pass it. Okay.
Yeah, it makes our life a whole lot easier. Nothing worse than the FBI breaking
showing
down the doors and hauling half your students out, I'm sure. So we do go through that quite diligently. We have several departments who double-check each other on that. Fortunately, knock on wood, we've never had anyone try to get in. Most people realize that it's not worth the hassle. They got to spend money for that background check. So
absolutely. Well, hey, it is time for South Carolina Radio News. We'll be back after the news.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafé cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafé mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm here with Jerry Capone. That's right. He told me the first time I met him it was either that or bootleg liquor. He couldn't decide what his second career was going to be, so he decided to go with gunsmithing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's legal. Keeps you out of jail.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, we were just talking about, you said you teach also a concealed weapons permit, correct?
Yes.
And some of the laws that we deal with, like taking a gun into a bar, taking a gun into a restaurant, drinking or not drinking. My only problem is, I don't know, you're not supposed to have a drink if you have your weapon on you, correct?
That's correct.
That's correct. But how do you know that somebody has a weapon on them? Until it's too late. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, that's one of those, you're in trouble when you get caught.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way of really knowing unless somebody was what they call printing, that you could see it through their clothing or it falls out of their pocket or holster. Yeah, then they're in trouble because they're not covered by the law. They are actually breaking the law at that point if they've been drinking and having a firearm in their possession.
Right. So I think it's a very interesting. I also think that though, let's see, who was I talking to? A friend of mine. I was talking to Anderson and Andover, Massachusetts. I think just about everybody there has a weapon, and it has the lowest crime rate around.
Yeah.
Funny thing about that.
Yeah, you know, there's a. I think one of the students have a T-shirt that says, an armed society is a polite society. And, you know, getting past the humor of it, I think we should just be courteous to each other normally. But most towns and cities that do have high concealed carry or firearm ownership do tend to have a much lower crime rate. And conversely, we look at Chicago and New York, very strict firearm possession laws, and their crime rate is through the roof.
And they can't seem to control it.
No, well, you know, criminals really don't care what the law is. So, you know, my father was a police officer, and he always told us, well, laws are for the good people. They're not for the bad people. They don't care. Yeah, so make all the laws you want. It's a matter of just being civil to each other and courteous, doing what's right, you know, the golden rule.
Absolutely. So here we have Jerry Capone with us. He teaches out at Piedmont Tech, looking to expand. I can't believe you're going from 600 square feet. I've actually been in your place out there. I've interviewed out there before. It's tight quarters.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
But to go from 600 square feet to 4,000, is that what you told me, 4,000?
Mm-hmm.
That you won't know what to do with yourselves, will you?
Oh, no, I do.
You do?
We've
okay.
We had the architectural department. They've drawn up all the plans, how we're going to fit 72 students in this, where all the equipment goes. It's hanging on my wall for me to see every day. That's, you know, my vision of where we're going. So it's set to go, and all the notes are printed. Most of the equipment's purchased.
When will you be expanding?
We're not sure yet. You know, there are so many other departments that have situations of overcrowding. Also, I believe it's three or four of us are all in the same boat, and the school has purchased a building, and modifications have begun on that. For other departments to move into theirs, and when they move into the new area, we move into their old areas, and they've been working real hard at it. It's just time consuming.
Sure. So probably not for this fall, though. I mean, not for this fall.
Oh, not for this fall. I'm not real sure.
Fall isn't very far away.
I'm a low man on the totem pole. You know, that I'm, you know.
You're as on
I'm told
to
when
know,
they have,
yeah,
you know, tomorrow
to know
you get to move. You know, I don't, I'm sure they'll give me a lot more notice than that. But they've been great. They've been keeping me pretty much in the loop, you know, for everything. Things we've asked for to expand the program, both size-wise and equipment. Instructor-wise, we're bringing in some more instructors that were instructors in Colorado, which, again, the oldest school in the country. And jokingly here, I told them, I called them up out there and said, look, you know, you're the oldest school, most known. I'm emulating you.
Yeah, there you go.
And they went, yeah, go ahead. You know, we don't care. So we've actually managed to bring one and maybe in the future a second instructor from out there here. So plus the instructors
we
already
have. But
we don't
have pot smoking here in South Carolina.
No, we don't. And, you know, that's an odd situation out there because state law is state law. They
right.
can do as they please. However, federal law is federal law, and federal law says when you go to buy a firearm, there's a little box there that says, do you use illegal substances? And they're not talking state law. They're talking federal. So if you check off, yes, I do, you are not allowed to own a gun. If you check off, no, you've committed a felony by lying on a federal form.
Wow.
So they're in a kind of an odd situation.
That's a conundrum.
Yeah. Now, the people I know out there, I'm sure they have a beer on occasion, but I'm pretty positive none of them are, you know, pot smokers. But
I would be interested to know how what has that pot had any effect on what is happening in Colorado with their guns and everything?
I'm not
sure. No, they're
sure.
all happy out there. So
yeah.
nobody carries a gun, and they're all.
Last
yeah.
I checked, they're having some kind of love in or something,
okay.
but I'm not positive.
Well, I was just curious because that's interesting, but I didn't realize on a federal form, you know, on that federal form, mm-hmm. how you could get yourself kind of tied up there.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what people do out there. That's why I live in South Carolina. It makes more sense.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, how long is the program out there at Piedmont Tech?
It's a 2-year certificate program. We actually do this year round. So students who start can finish in 15 months. We don't take a summer break. We go straight through. But it's still 4 semesters. They go between 3 and 4 days a week, depends on what semester they're in. Normally we start at 8 morning, go to 4 in the afternoon, and we're slave drivers. We make them work the whole time.
That's good. That's good. Now, how about the possibilities of opening up your own business, working for somebody else?
Not in the near future. I am so tied up expanding this program.
No, I meant for somebody that's taking
oh.
the course, going out and going into business and being successful, or somebody coming out of this program and finding a job working for somebody?
Oh, sure. Well, one of the reasons I've been told that the course was even started here was the political climate, especially in the Northeast, where all the major manufacturers got their start. Go back in history, everybody started every industry in the Northeast.
Right.
And as the country expanded, you know, certain ones moved. But all the biggies, be it Colt, Remington, Ithaca, Marlin, Winchester, they all started up north. And the political climate has driven them out of there. And our politicians, gave good incentives for them to come here.
Sure.
And it is my understanding we have about 12 major manufacturers in South Carolina, and we have them in Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina now. And one of their big concerns was skilled labor. So that was one of the main reasons for starting the program here. And that's part of my job is going to these companies saying, hey, we got skilled students here ready to work for you, and they love it. I meet with them once a year with an advisory panel and ask them, you know, or first tell them what we're doing, show them our program, and ask for their input, what they would like to see. And so far, they've been happy with what we have. So that's not to say that we won't change the program in the future, but right now we seem to be satisfying industry's needs.
Well, that's terrific. Well, we are here with Jerry Capone. Hey, if you got a question for him, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us, 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking to Jerry Capone. He is the head of the gunsmithing department out there at Piedmont Tech, looking to expand a program. Now, how many people do you have on your waiting list?
I believe about 180.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking 5 or 6 or 20 here. We're talking a big list.
Yes. And we've had lots of meetings of what we're going to do, and the school has come through with, we're going to give you more room and more instructors, more equipment, and, satisfy that need.
Wow, that's terrific. Now, in the program, I think one of the points you try to make is that you do classic gunsmithing.
Right.
We're not doing 3D printers?
No.
Would that work?
Not really. Plastic, when a bullet goes off, it's a lot of pressure and a lot of heat. Yeah, you can make a plastic gun that fires once, and then it melts. Yeah, maybe in the future they can come up with better plastics. But for right now, that's not possible, no.
Wow. All right. So the 3D, then what was the big deal? Why did they get so incensed about it out there in the marketplace?
Oh, I think that's politics. Whenever, one side wants to push their agenda, we have to keep in mind that a third of Americans are versed in firearms, a third are totally opposed to them, and then the third in the middle have no clue one way or the other. They're fairly easily swayed, and if you can tell somebody, like my sister, love her to death, that you can make a gun out of plastic on a computer, she freaks out and believes it because it was on the news. So
it's kind of like sad. It's on the internet, so it must be true. Right?
That's right. Yeah. I got a picture of Elvis and the Bigfoot riding together in a Cadillac. Yeah, so it's
out
there.
It must be
true.
Yeah, it was on the internet, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, what do people like the best part of the class? I'm sure some of the students will tell you what the best part of their two-year program is.
You know, that's a great question. I think it comes with the age of the student. The younger ones love tearing them apart, and they always need help putting them back together early on. About 30 years old, a little younger than that, maybe they start seeing that they've been handed a block of wood, and in 15 weeks they've carved a stunningly gorgeous piece of wood to look like art and fit a firearm they made the semester earlier, and they've finished it. It's brilliant and it's beautiful, and I think the creation that the first time they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, it's satisfying just, seeing that look on their face. But it's more satisfying to them that they did something like that that they never did before.
Wow. That is very cool. Now, when you're talking about the type of student that does well in your program, what do you look for in a student?
Dedication, mostly, that's what they want to do.
Non-quitters?
Exactly. A lot of our younger students are very used to high schools that are very accommodating with excuses of why they're late and whatnot and why they didn't turn in a project. And our program is gearing them for business and for success. We take attendance at 8 o'clock, 11:50, 12:40. And 3:50, very much like punching a time clock. And Well, their projects are graded on three criteria: time, tolerance, and finish. So they have to finish it within time or lose a letter grade off the bat. It has to be within tolerance or they lose a letter grade. And then finish, well, they get a little leeway there because we know that takes...
That's subjective, right?
Yeah, that's a little objective. But so we'll cut them a little slack there, not to help them so much, but it is a tough area to grade on. But we do give them examples of what high-end looks like versus junk. And we ask them what theirs looks closer to.
So you have to see, you have to be honest and say, I think mine looks closer to the junk.
Yeah. Well, when they're honest, then we can cut them a little break. It's when they tell me a Yugo is a Ferrari, then we have a problem, you
exactly.
know.
So. Well, Jerry, it sounds like you are totally happy to be out there at Piedmont Tech.
I'm thrilled. You know, the students are great. The administration's been wonderful to me. The community has welcomed me everywhere I've gone. I've been welcomed and invited. I'm glad I came here. And I'm thrilled that you asked me. I came in to buy a piece of jewelry one day, and we got to talking. I had my shirt on, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate the invitation, and hope it didn't bore your listeners too badly.
No, everybody's always interested in guns. Now, if someone has a question and wants to call you back at Piedmont Tech, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can call the college directly. And then ask for gunsmithing or Jerry Capone. They have a phone number for the college is 864-941-8324. Or you can go to the college's website, ptc.edu, and in the search engine, type in gunsmithing. It won't direct you anywhere else, and from there...
it won't direct you to respiratory care?
Nah, not generally. last
it
I checked.
Could happen, yeah.
And from there, there's links to email me if you'd like to ask me a question, and it also has my phone number again for the office. And, I'll welcome, and I answer all my emails. I go in at 7 in the morning. That's all I do for an hour is answer emails every morning, so... be glad to do that for any of your listeners.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds great. Now, they actually end up with a certificate from the program.
Yes.
Yes. And what does that certificate tell somebody?
Well, with major employers, along with the certificate, I send a letter along with it explaining what that certificate encompasses, how many contact hours that student has completed, and the coursework with the projects that were required in each one of those courses. Gunsmithing is unique in that we do not have a national federation that says you need to go to school for 20 years to be a doctor. You know, it's most of them are privately owned. We're only one of two, I believe, that are public institutions. So there is no national standards, though. We contact with all the major companies to give them what our standards are so that they're aware of it and what our certificate equates to within those standards. And they're quite happy with that.
Huh. So there are all kinds of ways that you can go out and become successful. You just need to get out there and do it and come out and see. Now, will you be starting a new group this fall?
Yes.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have 18 students starting from all over the country.
Okay. So you are filled at this moment.
Right. I believe they're looking at summer 2015 as the next possible opening, and that's admissions. Nobody hold me to this. Don't call me saying you said on the air there's an open. I don't know. Admissions handles all that for me. It's just overwhelming. I'm a gunsmith, not an administrator, so please bear with them. They're kind, wonderful people who will do everything to help you.
That's right. Well, Piedmont Tech certainly does work day in and day out with the students, whether it's the young students or those returning back to school. I mean, I do think Piedmont Tech does a wonderful program that way. the number of students that they're trying to get into the healthcare fields for these and teaching for those that are looking for a second career. You know, as you look back, are you glad you had your first career?
Yes.
Yes, as a chiropractor.
Yes, it was very rewarding.
Yes, and now to have this second career.
Oh, you know, for anybody who's over 50 and worried about it, don't be. Just do what you love. Go for it. If your kids are out of the house, which mine were, it's a lot easier.
Right.
And do what you love. You know, enjoy life. That's why you're here, to teach other people and enjoy yourself at the same time.
Absolutely. I think that is terrific, and I think that's a good word for all of us. A lot of people with the economy and everything got displaced during this economy. They've had to look at doing new and different things, and I think one of the things they say about the economy and way things people are going to learn is you're going to keep learning for the rest of your life. You may not, that career that you had that was forever may not be the career forever anymore.
That's right, and you know, big businesses are becoming less and less. I was always a believer in providing for myself. I've always been a small business owner. Try to instill that in our students. And I hope even people who are middle-aged, suffering the consequences of the economy, look into doing something for yourself. You know, don't rely on somebody else for your success and your happiness.
Absolutely. Well, listen, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Jerry Capone, very nice to sit down and have a conversation. Thanks so much for coming on today.
And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And hey, if you've got to tell them again one more time, if they've got guns that they would like to have refinished or redone, what y'all do out there?
Yeah, just call me first. Do not bring it to the campus, okay? That's a felony.
Okay.
But call me first. Again, go on the college's website to get my number, and I'll give you instructions. The guns are done for free, other than the cost of the part. If it needs one, we'll re-blue, refinish stocks, repair, restorations, pretty much anything you need done, you know, our students will do it, and it's guaranteed in perfect order when you get it back.
That's right. So you can call Jerry out there at school, 864-941-8324. That's 864-941-8324. That's, of course, out there at Piedmont Technical College. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks again, Jerry.
Thank you, Ann.